Hallelujah. Can you hear me good? Hallelujah. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. You know, it's a beautiful day. We have something to really shout and thank God for. And one of the things that that song brought to mind every Easter, that song always come to mind. And because we can't make it to this day and time without Christ. Amen. And one of the things that I came in, when I walked in the sanctuary, I got really excited because it was empty. And it was empty not because of the people weren't here, because God says where two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst of us. But it reminded me how they must have felt when they found the tomb of Christ empty. Amen. And they walked away knowing that, see, when this was empty, I know God is alive, is still alive today. Amen. I know that we can jump for joy and celebrate because of who he is. He is still in the healing business. It's because of the cross that we are where we are and able to do what we can do today. And that was just excite me, because that's just a brief moment. But here, I'm not going to give you the subject yet. But anyway, we are here this morning to celebrate his great name, the name of Jesus. And we want to celebrate it no matter what you're going through, what you're going through. But I'm going to talk mainly about the purpose of pain. The purpose of pain. Because this virus or whatever it is, COVID-91 or something like that, but it causes a lot of pain for everybody, including Christians. You know, if you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 1, Paul is going to establish the fact that life can be painful. And all the celebration we can do for God does not change the reality that life can be painful. Amen. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." Amen. Sin has made its mark on the society that the repercussions of that are felt. Some because they are caused by us. Some sins are caused because we have been done wrong by somebody else. Uh-huh. But in any case, it hurts. Yes. Notice in verse 4. I'm just going to read I'm going to read the whole verse 4. But it says, "Great is my boasting on your behalf." It says, "I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our afflictions." But in the middle, at the beginning of verse 6, it says, "But if we are afflicted," in the middle of verse 7, it says, "shares in our suffering." Verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction." Verse 9, it says, "Indeed, we had the sentence of death." Now, I get the impression Paul is in a painful situation. Yes. And he is not by himself, because he says our affliction. He is not just talking about his associates, but he says even the church at Corinth. I could go anywhere today and be pretty much all freaked out about how people look and how they're dressed, their fake smiles, and their impressions that all is well. God is good all the time. And they say, all the time, God is good. That's a true statement. God is good. And that's a true statement, because Christians, because we are Christians, that's what we're supposed to say. If we could take off our clothing, remove the makeup, rip some, remove the hair, it would come very clear that sometimes life hurts. And right now, at this time of life that we are in now, life is a little difficult. Because the reality is, there is affliction. But what is interesting about this passage that Paul is speaking about is there is no debate that he is probably one of the most spiritual Christians who had ever lived. He is above everyone else when it comes to declaring his faith, representing the faith, the suffering of his faith. He owned descriptions of everything that he went through, as a follower of Christ is dawning. It's hard to conceive that one man could go through so much, but he did. Some would think that I'm following Jesus, and I'm serving Jesus, I'm loving Jesus, I'm not supposed to hurt. A lot of Paul's pain was because he was following Jesus, because he was living for Jesus, because he was the visible, verbal follower of Christ and not a secret agent representative. He was in the midst of his faith. The functions in accordance with the faith, with that faith was often the cause of his pain. Yes, there is pain because of disobedience. When we sin, we hurt. Because sin has consequences. But there can also be pain because of your obedience. Amen. Amen. Some of you out there who are still single, only because you have refused to compromise your values and to settle for anyone, anytime, or anything. You just won't settle for it. And so the pain of being alone lingers because of your commitment to Christ.
Amen.
Has caused you not to compromise. There are others who are struggling financially, not because they have mismanaged funds, but because they have lost a job, or they didn't get that raise they had expected, or something in their possession broke down and they had no means to fix it. Life can hurt sometimes. Well, you see, in just a few verses we looked at, it was one affliction after another affliction. The Greek word for affliction means trouble or distress. He says, our affliction, because he is including you and me in it, so let's get something straight before we go any further. Life can hurt. People die and people get sick. Jesus, if you were there with me, I couldn't locate you. I called on you. I couldn't find you. If we would be super spiritual for a moment, there would be many of us here or there in TV land would look and say, Jesus, I looked for you. I looked and looked, and I could not find you. I tried to track you down, but I lost the scent. I tried to call you, but you were off the hook. I cried out, and there was no answer. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't be alone. Job, in chapter 23, he says, I looked north, I couldn't find you. I looked south, I couldn't find you. I looked east, I looked west. Lord, you were nowhere to be found. And the Bible tells us that Job was a righteous man. Paul said he had it so bad, it hurt so much, it hurt so deep. At the end of verse 8, he says, we despaired even of life. There is a second word that we have to come to grips with, and that word is comfort. The end of verse 3 says, God of all comfort. The beginning of verse 4 says, who comforts? The middle of verse 4 says, able to comfort. The next line in verse 4 says, afflictions with comfort. And at the end of verse 4, comforted by God. The end of verse 5 says, so also our comfort. The beginning of verse 6 says, it is for your comfort. Continued in verse 6, it says, or if we are comforted. Continued in verse 6, it is for your comfort. And at the end of verse 7, it says, shares of our comfort. The Greek word for comfort is the word paraclete. It's the word spoken about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says, I'm going to send you another comforter, whose job it is to come up alongside you and assist you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, where it says, no temptations has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Amen. But with the temptation, will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Amen. We got stuck on the word with, W-I-T-H. Not from but, but with. In other words, when God allows a problem, he not only sends something else with it. The problem is we can get stuck on the problem and not seeing the accompanying thing that God sends with it. Paul says, with the affliction, he provides a comforter.
Amen.
It says he provides a comforter with the affliction. It comes alongside the affliction and provides comfort. In the middle of verse 4 says, in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He says that you are to look in the middle of your affliction and you are to theologically focus on your pain. We must give dignity to our difficulty. There is a purpose to our pain. We don't like pain. We don't want the pain. We are not satisfied with the pain. But while you are facing the pain, he says, I want you to add purpose to the pain. Verse 5 says, for just as the suffering of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ.
Yes.
This is a very simple principle, but it is life-changing. The worst the pain gets, the deeper the focus on the Lord. He says, he called your pain sharing in the suffering of Christ. He says, I want you in the middle of whatever you're going through to focus on the fact that if you are seeking the Lord, serving the Lord, or committed to the Lord, I want your focus to be on the Lord. So while you are going through this, God who allows the affliction can also share the comfort. He wants God to transition over to you. Now, look at the second most important theological understanding you and I must have, and that is the serenity of God. The serenity of God means that nothing happens to you unless it passes through God's hands first.
Come on, Pastor.
That is what serenity means. Sovereignty means, I'm sorry. God is in control either because he causes it or because he allows it. If he allows it, in Romans 8:28, all things are working together for the good to them that love God. If you're pursuing God in the midst of what he has allowed, we call it the second most important theological understanding, because the first is the gospel. And so he says, I want you to focus on God. God did not deliver the three Hebrew boys from entering the fire, the furnace. He didn't deliver them, but he did something very important. He joined them in the fiery furnace. The fire was still hot. The fire was still hot. The fire was still burning, but its effect on them was not normal because he joined them in the fire. If God has taken you out of it, if he hadn't taken you out of it, guess what? He is joining you in it. We think about this thing, this virus that's going around. We are not immune to the hurt, the pain, the disgust, or nothing about this. But we as Christians have to focus and keep our focus on God. Because like the three Hebrew boys, if Christ joined with them in the fire, guess who's joining us in this mess that we
Amen.
Are suffering? I want him to deliver us, and I pray that he will deliver us. But while you're waiting, I want you to interpret this that we are going through. If indeed you are in fellowship with the Lord as your participation in the sufferings of Christ, we are shaken in every way, but not crushed. He says we are afflicted, but we haven't been destroyed. Then he says, We are perplexed. Don't know why this is happening. Don't know how long it's going to last. Don't know how long it's going to be here. We are perplexed, but we are not despairing. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. He says the circumstances may knock you down, but it shouldn't knock you out. If you're about your identity in Jesus Christ, so when you are going through the affliction, that is not the time to run away from God. That is time to run to God. Like you have never run before in your life. God knows you are in labor. God knows you are afflicted. He knows you're in pain. But he also knows there's something in there that he wants to birth out of you, out of us. And that manifestation of his life of Christ, a new experience with the Lord. With God that you would never have before. If we would never have this new association, this new, association with Christ if it had been for this trouble that we're having now. Amen. People have gotten closer. People have begun to pray with one another. People long for that fellowship. Don't you know it broke my heart? When two people are put together, they're in love, they care for a lot for one another, have to look down through a glass. Yes. They can't touch them.
Yes.
When this thing is over, people are going to be dying to come here just to wrap their arms around people that they love, that they want to touch. God is making sense. You got to change. Something has to change. And if we want to suffer with the life of Christ, we want to suffer with his persecution. So when we get in trouble, he will bring us out. Remember, the stone had been rolled away. You know, and without that focus on Jesus Christ, then the pain is only painful, and it is not purposeful. It is not pain without purpose. Verse 4, he says, God comforts you so that you may be a comforter to somebody else. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of this that we are going through, you are looking for comfort to come to you. God says, let comfort come through you. But one of the best things you can do if you are hurting is to think about somebody else, because the comfort you give is the comfort you receive. That is why it is more blessed to give than to receive. God says, in the midst of you getting out of your affliction, I want you to be a comforter as you are waiting to be comforted. In other words, there is ministry in your pain. And we say it all the time, we are saved. That means we are all ministers for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, it says, for even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had to rest. But we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fear within. Even spiritual Paul was afraid. He got bad news. And it scared him. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7 says, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you. As he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. This is a time that we should be rejoicing like we have never rejoiced before.
Amen. Amen.
We are not immune to anything that goes on. See, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Our outcome, even when it comes to death, we have greater things to look forward to. If death comes, we are with the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody here that's listening to this broadcast and you have not given your life to Christ, this is, you can't help yourself. You know what people can do. They're running around. People are still dying. People are still getting sick. People still have the virus in them. They're still carriers. They're closing down businesses. They're closing down everything. You can't go nowhere to eat. You're rich or poor, black or white. I don't care what ethnic background you are. This is affecting you. And you going through this without Christ is not a smart thing. I pray that God would touch your heart and some after hearing this message. I pray that he would touch your heart and that you would say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? It's going to touch. It made sense even if one decided to give his life to Christ. But it also is a benefit to those in Christ to cause them to keep going forward. Keep the faith. It's no time to jump ship now, which some are. But I pray that you become stronger in the faith, that you become, you get the comfort. I know we have some of our loved ones that have been sick, and I'm going to pray for them in a minute. But you need to be a comforter. God comforts you. You be a comforter to somebody else. So that same comfort that you get will be turned to you.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you, Lord, with thankful hearts. Lord, we come before you, said everything that we can ever suffer, you have already made a way of escape.
Yes,
Father, you said by your stripes we were already healed. Father, you said you wore this thing of death that we don't have to suffer death. Lord, you said you became sin. You paid the price,
Lord.
So I don't care what's going on. You are there. You are totally in our control. We're under your control. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for those members that have gained strength from this message. I thank you that you touched heart for someone to give their life to Christ. It's saying, they were saying, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And God said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Father, thank you, Father, for opening up their heart.
Yes.
Says, Lord, come in and rest, rule, and abide in me.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you for all that you're doing.
Yes.
Father, I don't know how long it's going to last because everything is in your hands. But I thank you, Lord, that your people, I thank you, Father, for the church even growing mightily after this. And Father, we just give your name all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Father, just thank you for those members of this body that has people who have contracted the virus. Some has lost lives because of the virus. Father, I thank you. They need to be comforted right now. Father, I just thank you, Father, that your comfort bring back that peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding. Father, I just thank you, Father, for moving on their families just throughout, Lord. And not only their families of this congregation, but I'm just praying for all churches, all people who have lost ones in those churches, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, for this moving by your Spirit. You said there's no distance in the spirit realm. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that when we pick up the call, we are famous, our heart is right, Lord, and we pick up the phone and call you, say, call them up and tell them what you want. Lord, I want a miracle in the lives of your people, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you in giving your name all the glory and honor and praise. For this is the day you have made.
Yes,
and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
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 Mm-hmm.